I'm Dan Cassidy, and this is UBS's Top of the Morning. Wireless is now a reality. Today, we revisit our conversation on this topic and dive into how this technology is being implemented and leveraged, the prospects for its scope of use, what investors should know, and more. Today's guests are Technology and Communication Services Analyst America's Kevin Dineen and Equity Associate Analyst America's Reed Gilligan, both from the UBS Chief Investment Office. So, Kevin and Reed, great to be back with you both in the studio, and thank you for joining us for an update on 5G.
Great. Thanks for having us back.
Thanks, Dan.
So, Kevin, I'll start with you. I know your team, yourself and Reed, recently published a note on 5G wireless, and this is following up on your primer from a couple of years back. I know that's something you and I talked about a couple of years ago, the primer on 5G. Could you walk us through what exactly has changed with this story since you and I last spoke?
Yeah, so a couple of years ago, we published a primer called Sooner Than You Thought, Different Than You Expected. Mm-hmm. About 5G. And the notion there was that a couple of things. We thought 5G, the story around 5G was for real. And that was actually a real out of consensus view a couple of years back. But what we said at the time is that, look, 5G wireless probably won't look like everything else. It won't be as centered on mobile as prior generations of wireless have been. So as you mentioned, a couple of years have passed, and we thought it made sense to take a step back and revisit the theme and see what's developed. And you know, honestly, I would say quite a lot has changed. I think the skepticism around 5G is completely dissipated, and for good reason. We're seeing 5G networks be deployed globally. Progress hasn't been a straight line, but there's certainly been a lot of progress in 5G technology. Whether we look at the maturation of the standards, this technology has gotten increasingly standardized that enables market development. Whether we look at the rollout of 5G networks, which we would argue is gathering momentum, not just here in the States, but globally. Whether we look at the availability of 5G handsets, which are a reality, and new applications that seem to be springing up that take advantage of a lot of the things 5G brings.
So maybe we can dive into that last point a bit deeper. So 5G, it's been talked about. Now it's in fact a reality. And to your point, Kevin, we are seeing these networks being built out. Phones are getting launched. Applications are starting to emerge. So Reed, how exactly are these networks rolling out? What does the implementation process look like? Are there any phones available yet for consumers to use? And are there any new services to speak of?
Yeah, so the pace of 5G adoption is actually forecasted to be relatively faster than prior generations, just due to the promise, speed, and capacity upgrades that 5G really enables. And it's not just the retail customer now. You're hitting the businesses, you're hitting the enterprise, and that's where that pace comes from. And actually, industry analyst Ovum predicts 1.3 billion 5G subscribers by 2023. And that just kind of speaks to the scale that this is. And the way it's able to so rapidly increase that subscriber base is by using current 4G core network infrastructure, and it's what is called a non-standalone model. So it kind of piggybacks on current infrastructure while also building out 5G infrastructure that really gives that performance upgrade. And to your other point around phones, wireless carriers is one of the first industries that will benefit from this 5G upgrade. And there actually are 5G capable phones on the market right now. Now, North America and China are expected to lead the charge. And I mean, as Kevin said, it's not just the states that are building this. Everyone is building this. Within the United States, there is limited coverage rolling out to specific cities. Now, in the U.S. right now, there's 32 cities with limited 5G coverage, but the wireless carriers are very focused on expanding that. And we have expected 30 to 40 more in the next year and a half.
Okay, so it sounds like 5G is very much still in its early stages, and the potential scale for consumer use and adoption, it sounds very impressive, which lends itself to investment opportunities. So Kevin, what do investors need to know about 5G, and why is 5G such a game changer? Why is it so important?
Yeah, I think you actually hit on part of it in your question. So what we think is really different about 5G is we think that you really shouldn't think of 5G as just another wireless generation or just another network. We think you have to consider 5G as a platform that can support a lot of different let's call them applications or services, right? So if we think back over the history of wireless, each generation of wireless sort of did one thing and one thing really well, or one incremental thing and one incremental thing really well. So first generation wireless made voice mobile, second generation made it digital. And why that was important was you could have, you know, relatively inexpensive phones with good battery life and build, you know, networks that could handle hundreds of millions of people. 3G made data mobile, mobile web browsing. 4G was really based about video. But it really didn't enable anything new outside of a wireless carrier's core business. 5G, we think, is really different. 5G, we think, is the first time that a carrier can build one network and support multiple revenue-generating applications. So we're going to have 5G wireless, mobile. We're already seeing that. Reed talked about the handsets. We'll see 5G fixed wireless access rollout. We'll see 5G support things like the Internet of Things, right? So this idea of having sensors out in the world that connect things, and those sensors will pick up, you know, what I call real-world phenomenon: light, pressure, temperature, speed, change, anything physical that's out there moving that you can gather data about. And these are all significant revenue opportunities for the wireless carriers. And if you look at the U.S., the problem the wireless carriers have, it's a saturated market. It's an industry where we know data volumes are growing 30 to 45% per year, but wireless industry revenues have actually been shrinking. So that was one of the reasons that a few years back, we were actually really positive about 5G, because we thought that we saw it as really a solution, not a network, a platform, not a network. And what's really important to realize is also is that, you know, there was some criticism that, is this really a new generation? Because we're not changing the wireless side. What's really important here is that 5G will make carriers change their infrastructure. It changes everything from the base station, so the bottom of the cell tower, back to the network. And the way that we describe it is you're going to look a lot like wireless carriers in this country, globally, in fact, but let's just keep it to this country. They're going to look a lot less like Ma Bell, the old telephone company, and a lot more like Google. And I'm using Google here as a proxy for a modern, highly software-driven, highly virtualized data center. And that's the key, because by getting away from hardware and moving into the data, moving a lot of network functions into software, now you can offer a lot of services via software on the same network, same platform.
So, Kevin, what you're really driving home is that from an investor's point of view, you can't compare 5G to prior generations. You really need to look at it differently as far as investment opportunities go and appreciate the scale of what this is,
yeah,
what it could be.
And to your point, I think that's exactly right. And just to amplify your point a little bit, the investment opportunities are you know, they range from some of the equipment providers to companies that will take advantage of 5G connectivity to probably things that we're not even thinking about yet.
Right. So, Reed, maybe you could help us and put some context around the scale of 5G. How big will 5G be?
Short answer, it's going to be huge.
Yeah.
So even with the rapid adoption, it's still going to take some time for the full benefit to be realized. I know some industry players are actually pointing at all the way to 2035 as the year that the full economic benefit of 5G will be realized. Now, just to give an example, the tech company Qualcomm estimates that the global economic benefit realized in 2035 could be as high as $12.3 trillion worth of goods and services enabled by 5G technology. And while this may be an aggressive estimate from a big 5G player, it really does speak to the size of what 5G offers and enables. Looking at some specific industries, if we look at the global 5G equipment market, so industry analyst IHS forecasts their equipment revenue will grow at more than 70% on an annual rate from 2019 all the way to 2022. Now, if we look at handsets, IDC predicts 5G phones to encompass 1/4 of global phone shipments by 2023. That equates to around $300 billion worth of revenue. And as Kevin mentioned previously, it opens up other opportunities over a longer term with Internet of Things, with autonomous driving, with enhanced augmented and virtual reality, telemedicine, and just so much more.
To that point, it sounds like 5G, it's going to reach into many different industries, and the estimates you shared with us around that and consumer adoption, very impressive. This conversation is not going to end anytime soon. Kevin, can you put a timeline around what we should be looking for between now and the estimates that you shared with us?
Yeah, I think there's a few things. So I think in the near term, we're going to hear more about carriers rolling out networks. We're going to hear about more capacity being lit up. But at the same time, I don't think this is going to be a straight line up and to the right. I think that carriers, not just in the U.S., but globally, maybe a little bit more so in the U.S. because of the high cost of wireless broadband. I think carriers have some figuring out to do here, particularly as it relates to the consumer. So one of the things that's unique in wireless is, you know how in life there's sort of like an 80-20 rule? In wireless, it's the opposite. There's a 20-80 rule. About 20% of your subscribers account for 80% of your bandwidth demand. So 20% of people on a network use 80% of the capacity. Our sense of it is that when 5G really rolls out at scale, a significant number of those high bandwidth users will migrate first to 5G. Great. But here's a challenge for a carrier. Once those people go off, let's say half of them go off, you have 40% more network capacity for the rest of us, mm-hmm. which will make driving more 5G adoption that much harder, right? Because everybody else's 4G experience will get better. So I don't think it's a straight line. I don't think this is necessarily, you know, the mobile aspect of this is necessarily a panacea for the telecom, wireless telecom industry. Having said that, we do think it's important. We do think they'll figure it out. We do think that the carriers will go after new services like fixed wireless access, where they compete with cable companies to deliver broadband into your home or business. We don't think that this is necessarily a panacea for the smartphone market, which is you and I have talked about for a number of years. Our view is that we're at peak smartphone.
Right.
I think the devices are still really expensive. If you think of it through that 20-80 rule that I mentioned, you're going to see some people upgrade, but others won't. But I think, you know, that's sort of in the weeds and maybe a little bit near term. Mm-hmm. I think to Reed's point and to the, I think really the heart of your question, if we think about what 5G will do over time, you know, 5G is going to be important because it's going to be the communications layer that enables all the things that we care about. So artificial intelligence, big data, artificial reality and virtual reality, cloud computing, all of these things will run one way or another in 5G. And just to put an example on it, you know, if you think about AI, AI lives and breathes on data. AI without data is like a Ferrari without gasoline, just doesn't do anything. So where are you going to get data? Well, now we go back to thinking about the massive Internet of Things, right? The Internet of Things on a scale that a typical 3G or 4G network couldn't have handled on the same network, but 5G can. Now we're going to have all this data. What are we going to do with it? We're going to send it over 5G. But you know what? We might not send it up into a data center sitting in the middle of the country. Cloud computing will change. It will become much more at the edge. It'll be mobile edge computing. Mm-hmm. And all that data will help drive artificial intelligence in new cloud data centers at the edge of the network, all powered by 5G. So we think this is part of a fabric that will end up really impacting almost every industry in the economy.
Yeah, it sounds very intertwined, and that's exciting. It could be scary as well.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that the winners and losers, particularly in terms of who capitalizes on what 5G can bring, mm-hmm. new businesses, new business models, I think that history is still to be written.
Well, there's a lot more to come with this story, and the implications are very wide-ranging. I'm sure this conversation was very eye-opening for many of our listeners, and they'll be seeking more updates as to how this will play out over time and how they as consumers will be impacted. So, Kevin and Reed, thank you for joining us for this refresh today, but looking forward to many more conversations to come on this topic.
Yeah, thank you, Dan.
Thanks, Dan.
And again, we have been joined by both Kevin Dineen, Technology and Communication Services Analyst Americas, as well as by Reed Gilligan, Equity Associate Analyst Americas from the UBS Chief Investment Office. Again, highly encourage you to take a look at Kevin and Reed's note, 5G refresh. A lot has happened in 2 years. Indeed, that is correct. So do be sure to take a look at that note for the full breakdown of what's new within 5G. That is up now on UBS Online Services. If you are a client of UBS, just reach out to your financial advisor. Your financial advisor can provide you a copy of this piece directly to you. Again, 5G refresh. A lot has happened in 2 years. Top of the morning. We'll be back again for you tomorrow morning. Have a great day, everyone.
As a firm providing wealth management services to clients, UBS Financial Services, Inc. offers both investment advisory services and brokerage services, which are separate and distinct, differ in material ways, and governed by different laws and separate contracts. For more information, visit our website at ubs.com/workingwithus. All rights reserved. UBS Financial Services, Inc. is a subsidiary of UBS AG, member FINRA SIPC.